Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah Daf Chav Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar Omer. Rabbi Elazar teaches us that Abba Osri Sudas Chayiv Adam Lechol B'Sukkah. A person is obligated through the Yontav of Sukkahs to eat 14 meals. Achs B'Yoyim V'Achs B'Layla. One every day and one every evening. The Magen Avraham, based on this Mishnah, proves that we don't have to eat Shalosh Shudos on Yontif. Because the Gemara is saying that you eat two meals a day, seven times two. The Mishnah is saying you eat 7 meals a day, 7 days, 2 meals a day equal 14 meals. If you would have to eat Shalosh Shudos on Yontif, it would be 21 meals. So obviously we don't have to eat Shalosh Shudos on Yontif. Ask the Achrayim. Fine. We don't have to eat Shalosh Shudos on Yontif, but we have to eat Shalosh Shudos on Shabbos. And it's inevitable in 7 days to have at least one day Shabbos. So why does Rabbi Elazar only say 14 meals? He should say at least 15 meals. So the Pnei Yeshua takes an approach, which the Gemara will actually use a number of times today, Mitzvah Shem, is that our Mishnah is focusing on Hilchas Sukkah. As far as the Sukkah is required, you have to eat 14 meals. Hilchas Shabbos, other halachas are not the focus of our Mishnah. Another answer, which we will also discuss with Mitzvah Shem later in this year, is that for Shalosh Shudos, there are Rishonim that say you don't have to eat a meal. You could be Mekayim Shalosh Shudos without eating a regular meal, so that's why it's not mentioned. However, there's another shaila in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you have to eat 14 meals, achs b'yoyim v'achs b'layla. If you think about it, the Mishnah is not in order. Doesn't the night of Sukkot come before the day of Sukkot? The first thing that happens is Sukkot. We have the first night of Sukkot. So the Mishnah should have said achas b'layla v'achas b'yoyim. Say these mefarshim. Rabbi Elazar is not speaking about the first meal. About the first meal at night of Sukkot, there is no discussion. As we're going to learn in a moment, the Chacham also agree that the first meal has to be eaten the Sukkah. What the Mishnah is speaking is that Rabbi Elazar says in addition to your first meal, you have to eat another 14 meals, because that will be a total of 15, which will include your Shalosh Shudos. Another pshat that I saw is that, as is understood in learning this Mishnah, they ate 2 meals a day, one in the morning, one in the evening. So Shabbos, you could have the Shalosh Shudos. They ate Shalosh Shudos Shabbos afternoon, but they had a big enough Shalosh Shudos, they shouldn't have to eat a supper on Matzoi Shabbos. The Chum hold, Ein L'davar Kitzvah. There is no requirement. If you want, you could eat. If you want, you could fast. Chutz Meleil Yontav Rishon Shel Chag Bavad, besides the first night of Yontav, where you're obligated to eat. So again, as we said, the Achronim ask, it's Yontav. Yontav, you're not allowed to fast. So how could the Chum say, Ein L'davar Kitzvah, so you don't have to eat? You have to eat. It's Yontav. So again, the Pnei Yeshua uses his approach. We're not talking about Hilchas Yontav. We're talking about Hilchas Sukkah. As far as the Sukkah is concerned, you don't have to eat besides the first night. Yontif halachas are a separate issue. Another pshat is that for Yontif, if you would eat by day and fast by night, it's acceptable. As long as you don't spend the whole 24 hours not eating. So that's why the Chum don't have that amount of meals. Another pshat is that if somebody enjoys fasting more than eating, he's allowed to fast on Yontif. V'odam Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar says another halacha. Mishloi ochel leil Yontif arishin. If somebody missed eating this Yontav de Gemil, Yashav Leil Yontav Achron Shel Chag. You could make up the meal that you're missing on Shmini Atzeres. So the way that we try to explain the Mishnah is 2 points to understand Rabbi Elazar. It's not only the first meal. Any meal that Rabbi Elazar holds you obligated to make, eat, you have to make up. And it's teaching us that you could even make it up on Shmini Atzeres. And the Gemara will discuss it. Now there's an interesting Machlokes Rishonim. A person missed a meal on Sukkot, so he wants to make it up. But he doesn't want to wait for Shmini Atzeres. He'll make it up on Chol HaMoed. He'll make it up on one of the days of Yontif. What's pshat in the Mishnah? Is Rabbi Elazar telling us that the only time you can make up the meals you miss are on Shmini Atzeres? Or is Rabbi Elazar teaching us that if you didn't have an opportunity to make it up during Yontif, you still can make it up on Shmini Atzeres, but certainly you can make it up on Yontif? So most Rishonim say, if you can make it up in Shmini Atzeres, which is already not part of Sukkot, you certainly can make it up on Yontif. However, other Rishonim learn that no, on Yontif, since you're obligated to eat in the sukkah every time you eat, so it can't be a time for making up meals that you missed, because every meal you eat on sukkah has its own chiv to eat in the sukkah, and therefore the Mishnah is saying that the only time, according to Rabbi Elazar, you can make up a missed meal is on Shmini Atzeres. And the Chum disagree. Ein l'davet hashlumim. It can't be made up. Val ze nemar muvus lo yochel iskoin. This is a mistake that can't be counted. V'chsan lo yochel imanas. It's irreparable. The Mefarshim explained, I saw from the Be'er Avrom, there's a tremendous lesson in this Mishnah. Sukkot follows Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day that how do we serve Hashem? By not eating. By being away, separating ourselves from Olam Hazeh. Tells us Rabbi Elazar, that's one way of serving Hashem. That is another way of serving Hashem. You got to eat two meals a day. But eat them in the sukkah. They should be Sudas Mitzvah. And they should be a way of serving Hashem. My time, Rabbi Elazar. So why does Rabbi Elazar say you have to eat these two meals a day, 14 meals a yontif? Because the pasuk says, Teishvu kidin tiduru. You have to live in the sukkah as you live all year round. Madira, just like all year round, ach b'yoyim v'ach b'layla, you have to eat two meals a day. Af sukkah ach b'yoyim v'ach b'layla. And I saw a very powerful vart from the Satmar Rebbe on this Gemara. He says, Teishvu ka'ein teduru, that we have to live in the sukkah like we live in our homes. But he says it also goes the other way. The lesson of the sukkah should be taken into our homes for the whole year. The lesson of the sukkah that we're in the Tzila Damnusa, that we are totally enveloped with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even our eating is a mitzvah, we should take that lesson into our own homes for all year round. Rabbanan Kedira. And the Rabbanan say, yes, the sukkah should be like your home. Madira, ibay ochel, ibay loy ochel. Person doesn't have to eat. He doesn't always eat two meals a day. Av sukkah nami, ibay ochel, ibay loy ochel. Says the Gemara, if that's the approach of the Rabbanan, you don't have to eat because you don't always eat at home. Ihoch afil yontav rishon nami. They should not have to eat the first night. And yet we just learned in the Mishnah, the Chacham hold that you have to eat the first night. So says Taisus, the Rabbanan are telling us, and we're going to learn why in a moment, that the only meal you have to eat in the sukkah is the first night. Every other meal you don't have to eat. So Taisus says, based on this Gemara, halacha lemaisa. If somebody forgot to say yalla v'yavoy during yontif, he doesn't have to repeat it. Because the only time you have to repeat yalla v'yavoy is if you forgot to say it in a meal that you were obligated to eat. But Rabbanan are telling us now that the only meal we're obligated to eat is the first night. So the first night, says Taisvis, if you forgot Yalla V'Yavoy, you should have to repeat it. But the rest of Yontif, if you forgot it, you shouldn't have to repeat it. But that's not the halacha. Because there's another Taisvis. There's a Taisvis in Masechta Brachos, which really picks up on a concept that we've mentioned. Taisvis in Masechta Brachos says that our Gemara is speaking about Hilchas Sukkah. As far as Hilchas Sukkah is concerned, you only have to eat the first night of Yontif in the Sukkah. But there's also a Hilchas Yontif. Hilchus Yontif, you have to eat Sudan Yontif. Out that halacha, you have to eat, you have to repeat the benching if you left out Yal V'Yavan. We may see other Turutzim soon. Rabbi Yochim Shem Rabbi Shem V'Yitzadik. So how do we know, why did Rabbanu hold that the first night of Sukkot, we must eat a meal in the Sukkah? Nemekan Chamish Asar. It says here, by Sukkot, the word Tezvov, that's the 15th day of the month. The Nemar Chamisha Osav Chag HaMatzis. The Torah uses the same words by Pesach. Ma'ala Halon, just like by Pesach, Leila Harishin Chayva. The first night you have to eat matzah. Mikam ve'elich Rishos. After the first night you can eat matzah, but you don't have to. If you're going to eat, you have to eat matzah. Avkan, Leila Harishin Chayva. The first night is an obligation to eat. Mikam ve'elich Rishos. Ask the Gemara v'Hosam and Nolan, and how do you know that one is obligated to eat matzah on the first night of Pesach? On Mekra be'erev toichlu matzahs. Hakosav kavay chayva. The Torah taught us that the night of Pesach we're obligated to eat matzah. So since the Gemara is learning the chiyuv to eat on the first night of Sukkot is learnt from Pesach, so the Poskim derive a lot of halach l'maisa. One halach l'maisa I saw is that Just like on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, you're not supposed to eat matzah. You're really not supposed to eat much, so you should eat at night with teyoven. Erev Sukkos in the afternoon, you shouldn't eat too much, so you should come eat. You should eat the meal in the sukkah l'teyoven with an appetite. I even saw an interesting psak from Yitzchak Zilberstein. It's based on a ritva. The ritva says, just like we're learning now in the Gemara, that the first night of sukkah you have to eat in the sukkah no matter what, even if it's raining, you have to eat in the sukkah on the first night. There is no p'tura mitzdar. So says the ritva, that the same din will be for sleeping. Even though if it's raining, you don't have to sleep in the sukkah. If the first night you have to sleep in the sukkah, even if it's raining. The Paiskim don't bring it down, but what they do bring down, what I saw Ripsak Zelbishtein bringing down, is that a person shouldn't take a nap, Erev Sukkos in the afternoon. Because if he's going to take his nap, Erev Sukkos in the afternoon, he may not be able to sleep in the sukkah. You're supposed to sleep in the sukkah the first night, so don't take a nap, Erev Sukkos in the afternoon, if you even have time. Continuing, since we're comparing Sukkos, the first night of Sukkos to the first night of Pesach, so there's an interesting shaila in the Paiskim. How much bread, how much challah do you have to eat the first night of Sukkah? If we compare it to Pesach, so Pesach, how much do you have to eat a kazayis? So here also you would have to eat a kazayis. On the other hand, we learned yesterday that eating less than a kebeya is not considered an achilas kva. So the machloikis, how much you have to eat of challah the first night of Sukkos. Do you have to eat a kazayis of challah or a kebeya? The Paiskim say, l'chatchili you should eat a kebeya. And they really say more. Because if we're comparing it to Pesach, we know that we're machmer to two kazayisim of matzah. So you should eat at least two kazayisim of challah. You should eat them b'kdei achilas pras. And one more halacha. On Pesach, when you eat the matzah, the Tzitz Eliezer says this. On Pesach, when you eat matzah, you're supposed to eat the matzah plain. You're not supposed to put anything on your matzah when you eat it by the Seder. The challah that you're eating to be mekayim, the mitzvah on Sukkos by night, you should eat just plain challah to mekayim, mitzvahs, sudas, in the, it has vav in the sukkah. What? So you might as well eat matzah. You can eat matzah. You can eat matzah, but there are paiskim that say that matzah all year round is not a hamotzi. Only on Pesach it's a hamotzi. The Stechemet says that. That is a question. If we're comparing Sukkos to Pesach, then we compare Pesach to Sukkos. So the Rishonim, the Balamar already asked this question. We know that every time we eat a meal in the Sukkah, not just the first night, we make a bracha leishah b'sukkah. So why is there no din that when we eat matzah every time, that we should make a bracha, lecha matzah? So I saw two answers. When somebody eats matzah on Pesach, why is he eating matzah? Because he's hungry. He needs to eat something. You're not allowed to eat chametz. So he's eating matzah. So it's not obvious that you're doing it l'shem mitzvah. It's obvious that you're doing it because you're hungry. However, when somebody eats on Sukkos and he eats in the Sukkah, it's obvious he's doing it l'shem mitzvah. He's not doing it because he's hungry. Because if he was hungry, he could eat in the house. So therefore, you make a l'shem b'sukkah every time you eat, but you don't make a lechem matzah every time you eat matzah. Another answer I saw is because by Pesach, the halach is that by Sukkos the halach is that the sukkah, like we just learned, is kain tadura. So the sukkah is much more of a chiyuv than matzah. Matzah is one specific din that if you want to eat, you can't eat chametz. You have to eat. If you want to eat a bread product, you have to eat matzah on Pesach. On Sukkos, the sukkah is supposed to be where we live, so it's much more of a chiyuv, and that's why we make a leisha b'sukkah every time we go into the sukkah. Continue to the Gemara. V'adam Rebbelezer. Rebbelezer said that you have to eat 14 meals. So the Gemara, the Mishnah, if we learn it simply, says that we only have to make up one meal. But we said you have to eat 14 meals. You should have to make up 14 meals. V'amar Rebbelezer, Abba Asa Sudas Chayv Adam Lecha B'Suda, Achas B'Yoyim Achas B'Layla. So why are we only making up one meal? We should have to make up all the meals. And Rashi learns the question even deeper. Rashi says, when are we making up the meal that we missed? We're making up the meal that we missed on Shmini Atzeres. On Shmini Atzeres, let's not talk in Chutz Laretz. In Eretz Yisrael, Shmini Atzeres, you don't sit in the sukkah. So by sitting in the, to make up a sukkah's meal, you have to eat in the sukkah. But that's after Yontif, so it's Baal Taisif. You're not allowed to add, if you ate in the sukkah an extra day, it's Baal Taisif. Amar Bira, Amar Rav Ami, Chazer, Bar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar retracted. So Rashi explains, what is it? There's machlokes Rashi and Tosfos to understand what he retracted from. We're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi. Rashi says he retracted that you only have, we started the Gemara, the Rabbi Elazar says you have to eat 14 meals in the Sukkah. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar retracted from that. You only have to eat one meal. So what is the machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim? The machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim is strictly if that one meal, the first meal, the first night of Yontif, that you have to eat in the Sukkah, do you have to make up if you miss that meal on Shmini Atzeres? Rabbi Elazar says you have to make it up. The Chacham say you can't. Ask the Mashal, the Gemara still hasn't answered Rashi's question, the way Rashi understood the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar is saying, fine, you only have to eat one meal in the Sukkah. And you have to make up that meal on Shmini Atzeres if you missed it. Where? In the Sukkah. Why is there no problem about Tosef? So the Mashal's approach to the Gemara is that once Rabbi Elazar says that you only have to eat one meal in the Sukkah, it's obvious not a din in the Sukkah. It's obviously a din in Yontif. So when you're eating that meal that you made up in the Sukkah, it's not because you're saying I have to eat in the Sukkah longer. I'm making up a meal that I missed. And therefore it's not about Tosef. Others say that the entire issue about Tosef is really not relevant here. Why? Because Baal Tosef is only passable when you're doing a mitzvah. What's the classical example Baal Tosef? I'm wearing tefillin, and the tefillin have to have four boxes, and I put on tefillin with five boxes. That's Baal Tosef. But if I do something that there's no mitzvah in the Torah, that's not Baal Tosef. Sitting in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, Shmini Atzeres is not a day of Sukkahs. So it's like sitting in the Sukkah today. It's meaningless. And therefore, there's no issue about Tosef. And there's a Gevalda Geraya. Because in Chutz Laaretz, people sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, because by us, it's a Sveika de Yoyma of Sukkahs. So why is the issue of Sveika de Yoyma allow you to eat in the Sukkah when you may be over about Tosef? The Issa about Tosef is Issa de Raisa. The Chiv to keep Sveika de Yoyma is a Drabonim. Shouldn't the Issa about Tosef supersede the Isser Baal Tosef, because there is no Baal Tosef. Because after Sukkot, there's no more Baal Tosef. It's like sitting any day of the year, if you want, in your hut. No problem. As I said, Tosfos has a different approach. Just to mention what Tosfos' approach is that Rebbe Elazar still holds that you have to eat 14 meals. What he was chayzer from, what he retracted from, was that the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar said, you have to eat the make-up meals in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, and now he's saying you don't have to eat it in the Sukkah, you could eat it anywhere you want. According to Tosfos, there's obviously no problem about Tosef, because you could eat the make-up meal, not in the Sukkah. Ask the Gemara, Mashlam B'mai. So now we're eating the make-up meal on Shmini Atzeres. The question is, how are you eating it? Ilem Berifta, that I eat a bread meal, Suda de Yoyma Koyachal. On Shmini Atzeres, I have to eat a Suda. So I'm eating a meal, it's not because it's a make-up meal, it's because Shmini Atzeres requires a Suda. And the Mefarshim explained, so maybe I'll eat an extra meal, then I'll have a problem with Brochosh and Tzricha, and it's also not obvious that I'm eating it because of a make-up. People will think I'm eating more Yontif meals, says the Gemara, my Yashlam, so how do I accomplish eating a make-up meal? Yashlam b'mina Targima. I should eat Targima. So there's a three-way machloikus rishonim, what Targima means. Rashi says, Targima means fruit. Tosfos says, Targima means fish and meat. And the Rosh and Ritva say Targima means cake. Says Tosfos, that even though, and I mentioned that we're going to say this in the Mishnah, even though the Gemara here is telling us that Targima means fruit according to Rashi, or meat and fish according to Tosfos, it doesn't mean that we could be mekayim mitzvah shalosh shudas with eating targima, just eating fish or fruit or cake. Why? It says why do we have to eat three meals on Shabbos? Because the Torah, regarding the mon that fell for Shabbos, uses the word hayoyim three times. It says Tosfos, on the first two meals, no one would ever consider that you could be Mekayim Suda Shabbos without eating bread. The third meal of Shabbos is no different than the first two meals. So just like the first two meals, you have to eat with bread. Shal Shudas, you have to wash and eat bread. Shal Patrapas.
Is this one saying only my way but not the other way?
Well, according to Rashi, certainly if you could eat fruit, you could eat fish and meat. And according to Tosfos, you could certainly be Mekayim with cake. You know, everybody's one step more machmer than the previous Rishon. Shal apotropis shal agrifus melech as Reb Elezer. The administrator of agrifus melech's estate, as Reb Elezer. Kigoyin ani sheni rog alech el sud achas b'yoyim. I eat only one meal a day. Mash oichel sud achas v'efter. Do I only have to eat one meal a day on Sukkot and that'll be enough? So the Aruch HaNer explains this question very beautifully. He says, the Gemara here is going still according to the Shita. The Reb Elezer says you have to eat 14 meals on Sukkot, in the Sukkah. Why? So as we learned at the beginning of the Gemara, just like during the year you eat two meals a day, so too, Sukkot you have to eat two meals a day. So he asked, I never eat more than one meal a day. So if you're saying that I should follow my normal habit, my normal habit is only to eat one meal a day. So perhaps Sukkot, I should also only have to eat one meal a day. Amaloi. So he answered him, every day that one meal you eat, you're a wealthy person, you eat a big banquet. So today you can't add a meal for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's two ways of explaining this. One way he's telling is, you Baruch Shem are a wealthy person, you eat a lavish banquet. So now, divide the banquet into two, and eat two meals a day. Another way of explaining it is, preparis is like an appetizer. An appetizer whets your appetite. So it says, you Baruch Hashem eat these appetizers. So you have a good appetite. So use that good appetite to eat two meals a day. Void Shalom. He asked him another question. Kigoyin anish yesh li shtei noshim. I have two wives, Achs b'tferi v'achs b'tzpari. One lives in Tferi and one lives in Tzpari. V'yesh li shtei sukkos. Achs b'tferi v'achs b'tzpari. So I built a sukkah in Tferi and Tzpari. Ma'al she'etzi m'sukkah l'sukkah. Could I be m'kayim mitzvah sukkah in both sukkos v'after? And again, the Aruch HaNer explains the Gemara. As we're going to learn the next piece of Gemara, Reb Elezer holds that a person should use the same sukkah for all 7 days of sukkos. So he's saying, why do you have to live in the same sukkah? Because you should stay in one apartment. He says, but my normal way of living is that I always live in two apartments because I have two wives. So does the halacha that one should always remain in one sukkah that you, Reb Elezer, hold, does that halacha apply to me? So he answered him, loy, shani oimer, you too have to follow this halacha because I say, kol hayotzi m'sukkah l'sukkah, if you change sukkahs, batal mitzvah shereishonah, you've abolished the first mitzvah and it's inappropriate, and decide which sukkah you're going to be in and remain there for the whole yontif. Tanya Reb Elezer Omer, ein yotzim masukkah l'sukkah, you're not allowed to go out from one sukkah to another sukkah, ve'ein oitzim sukkah b'chol shamayit, and you're not allowed to build a new sukkah in chol amayit. V'cham Omer, the Cham hold, yotzim masukkah l'sukkah, you're allowed to go from one sukkah to another sukkah, ve'oitzim sukkah b'chol shamayit, and you're allowed to build a sukkah in chol shamayit. V'shavin, and everybody agrees, shem nafla, that if the sukkah fell, shechayz rabbeinu b'chol shamayit, that you're allowed to build the new sukkah on chol amayit. My time with Reb Elezer, what's the reasoning for Reb Elezer? Amakra, chag ha-sukkahs tas l'chshivas yamin. Asay sukkah ruya l'shiva. Make a sukkah that should work for all seven, that should be durable for 7 days. So the machloekas harishonim, how to understand Reb Elezer. It's certain that the reason Reb Elezer holds there ain't ois in sukkah b'chol shemayid, because he just taught us the pasuk, asay sukkah ruy l'shiva. You have to make a sukkah that lasts all 7 days. But now the machloekas harishonim is, Reb Elezer says ain't yoitz in sukkah l'sukkah. Why? Is it because that is also part of what the pasuk is saying? Asay sukkah l'shiva. And the Torah is telling us, build a sukkah that will be there for all seven, that's a 7 day sukkah, and remain in that sukkah. So it's a din midaraisa. Or other Rishonim say, there's a problem with that approach, because we're learning two distinct rules from one pasuk. And they say the reason why Rabbi Elazar holds ein yotzei min sukkah l'sukkah is not because of the pasuk. It's because it's a bazaar into the sukkah. If I was in one sukkah and then I went to another sukkah, I'm embarrassing the sukkah. Furthermore, say the Rishonim, we don't pasuk in this way, but the Rishonim explained Rabbi Elazar. According to Rabbi Elazar, when he says you're not allowed to go from one sukkah to another sukkah, it certainly means that you're not allowed to say I'll be in this sukkah on the first day yontif and another sukkah the second day yontif, but it's even more than that. Let's say somebody says, you know what? I'll designate this sukkah to be my eating sukkah, and I'll designate this sukkah to be my sleeping sukkah. According to Rabbi Elazar, that's not acceptable either. You have to have one sukkah for all of Yontif, and do everything that you have to do in the sukkah in that sukkah. Rabbanan. According to Rabbanan, that you are allowed to build a sukkah, and you are allowed to go from one sukkah to another sukkah. Hakam Rachmana. Asay sukkah b'chag. You're allowed to build a sukkah. Chag asukkah. On sukkahs, you can build a sukkah. However, there's a very interesting Me'iri. The Me'iri says, when the Rabbanan say that you're allowed to, and it's very interesting, laloch lamaisa, the Maimon Matcha brings down this Me'iri. He says, let's say somebody intends to build a sukkah in Chol HaMoed. What is the Rabbanan saying? If you need a sukkah in Chol HaMoed, your sukkah, you didn't plan it out, then you're allowed to construct a sukkah in Chol HaMoed. But says the Me'iri, to specifically plan that you're going to construct a sukkah on Chol HaMoed is not mutter. Why? It's a hichas Chol HaMoed. Because you're not allowed to be mechavim malach to Chol HaMoed. You're not allowed to plan to do malach on Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Maimon Matcha, but he doesn't pass him that way. He says, and people do this, people go on trips and they build a sukkah where they're going. The Mishnah Berurah says that if you need to build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed, even though you knew before Yontif you're going to have to build that sukkah, it's permissible. However, what the Mishnah Berurah does say is that when you build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed, you should not do it in a very permanent fashion. Because on Chol HaMoed you're supposed to try to do as little malach as possible. So if you're going to build a sturdy structure, I mean it has to be a kosher sukkah, but it shouldn't be very sturdy because you're not allowed to build on Chol HaMoed. B'shavin, we learned that everybody agrees, Shem Nafla, Shechayza Bainais V'chal Shemayid. That if the sukkah fell, you're allowed to rebuild it in Chol HaMoed. Ask the Gemara Peshitta. Even Rabbi Elazar said, you're not allowed to build a new sukkah in Chol HaMoed. But here it's not a new sukkah, it's a sukkah that fell. Says the Gemara, the time ha'achritihi, that this sukkah that fell, and now I'm rebuilding, it's not the old sukkah that I rebuilt. Rather, it's a new sukkah. And Rabbi Elazar says, you're not allowed to build a new sukkah in Chol HaMoed. Because it's Ne'en El-Shiva, Mashmalan, that's considered the old sukkah. And Tosfos says that even though Rabbi Elazar is allowing us to build a sukkah that fell, says Tosfos, he's only allowed to use the original materials. In other words, let's say your sukkah fell down. So now, you don't want to have your sukkah fall again. So you go bring new materials, throgah material. According to Rabbi Elazar, you would not be allowed to do it. You're allowed to take the original material and reconstruct it, but not bring new material. According to Beleza, would be unacceptable. Tanya Beleza Omer, Kshem Shenon Yodei Chavosu Beyond the Rishon Shachag Belulava Shachaveroi. As we're going to learn in the next parak, the first day Yontif, there's a din of Lachem. You have to use your own dal minim. The Ksiv Lachachtam Lachem Beyond the Rishon Priates Hod of a Kapis Tamarim Mishalachem Kach Ein Adam Yodei Yodei Chavosoi Besukasu Shachaveroi. You have to own your own sukkah. The Ksiv Chag a sukkah taslacha, shivas yamim mishalcha. It has to be a sukkah that you own. V'cham ma'imrim, apish amru ein adam yotzi dechavasu b'yamim tamarishin b'lulav shalchaveri. Although the din is that the first day of sukkahs, you have to own your own dalim minim. Av yotzi dechavasoi b'sukkahs shalchaveri. You don't have to own your own sukkah. The Ksiv Kol Ezrach b'Yisrael Yeshu b'Sukkos Lamed Shekol Yisrael Ruim Leishu b'Sukkah Achas. The pasuk says that all of Klal Yisrael consider one sukkah. So Rashi explains the Gemara this way. Rashi says Klal Yisrael Baruch Hashem is a big nation. Ken Yirbu. If all of Klal Yisrael are sitting in one sukkah and everybody has ownership in that sukkah, there wouldn't be a shava pruta to everybody. How much could a sukkah be worth? That everybody should have a pruta if we take all the Jews. So it's a proof that you don't have to own the sukkah and still be sitting in the sukkah. So there's a very famous Minchas Chinuch on this Rashi. Minchas Chinuch asks, The Rashi is teaching us that if you don't own a Shavu Pruta, it's not cool that you own it. So ask the Michis Chinuch, the halacha is that the matzah that you eat Pesach by night has to be your matzah. In fact, I neglected to say this. There are poskim that say that the challah that you eat on Sukkot by night should be challah you own. Just like, because we're comparing Sukkot to Pesach. Just like you have to own the matzah, you have to own the challah. So, a matzah, it's not, nowadays it's not such a shayla. But in times of Michas Chinuch, a matzah wasn't worth a pruta. So he says, if something that's not worth a pruta is not considered that you own it, so how can you become mitzvah matzah? Or aravis, again, not in our times, but the Michas Chinuch used this example. An arava in the time of Chazal wasn't worth a pruta. Yet we just learned that you have to own the dalaminim. So how could it be called lechem if it's not worth a pruta? If Rashi says that anything that isn't worth a pruta, it's not considered that you own it. So the Levush Shemartcha answers the Michas Chinuch's question. He says, when you own something all by yourself, the piece of matzah that I own, the rava I own, it makes no difference how much it's worth. Pruta or less than a pruta. If it's mine, it's mine. It's lechem. Here we're discussing a partnership. That all of Klal Yisrael are partners in one sukkah. And Rashi says that if each one of us doesn't have a shava pruta, then it's not considered that I have an ownership. He says, a stake in an ownership is different in a stake than what you own yourself. In what you own yourself, it makes no difference. In what you're owning as part of a group, it's not considered that you are a partner unless you have a shava pruta. Ask the Gemara, Rabbanan Haylecha Maidar Shvei. But the pasuk says l'cha. That the pasuk says by the sukkah chagas sukkah tas l'cha. According to them, you don't have to own the sukkah. So what do they learn from the word l'cha? Mibay le lemute gzula, that you're not allowed to sit in a stolen sukkah. Avishula, but if you borrow the sukkah, even though you don't own it, ksiv kol ezrach. And the pasuk can make a very important observation. Many times people build sukkahs, and they use a wall that they share with a neighbor. Or they put supports on their neighbor's house or porch. If they don't have permission from their neighbor, it may be a situation of gezula. And now the Gemara is teaching us that everybody agrees that a sukkah gezula is disqualified. So you have to be very careful that when you build a sukkah, if you're using any part of your neighbor's property, get his permission. It's anyway the right thing to do. Says the Gemara, for Rebbe Lezer, hi kol ezrach my avid lay. According to Rebbe Lezer, the Rabbanon learned kol ezrach that everybody could share one sukkah, even though they don't own it, because sukkah shula is kosher. But Rabbanon disagree, so what do they do with the word kol ezrach? Says the Gemara, mibay le legershin is gai ben atayim. He needs it to teach us that let's say a ger became a ger in mill of sukkahs, the cotton shin is gadol ben atayim, or cotton that becomes a bar mitzvah in the middle of Yontif Sukkot, that the halacha is that he's allowed to build a sukkah. And the explanation is that Rebbe Lezer said that you're not allowed to build a sukkah during Chol HaMoed. The sukkah has to be built before Yontif and last for the whole Yontif. When is that? By a person who was bar mitzvah or was Jewish before Yontif. But somebody who only became bar mitzvah on Yontif, or somebody who only became a ger on Yontif, he could build the sukkah in the middle of Yontif, according to Rebbe Lezer. And Rebbe Chanan says a beautiful explanation in this limud. He says, although Rebbe Lezer says that you have to build the sukkah before Yontif, why? Because we who are bar mitzvah before Yontif, we have an obligation to sit in the sukkah for 7 days. So the sukkah has to be a 7-day sukkah. If a child becomes bar mitzvah during Yontif, let's say he becomes bar mitzvah the third day, after 3 days of sukkahs, his sukkahs is only 4 days. So when he builds a sukkah for those 4 days, sukkahs is for him a 4-day Yontif. The ger that becomes a ger in the middle of Yontif, sukkahs is for him 4 days. And there's a beautiful proof to Rabbi Chanan's approach to the Gemara. And it speaks to something that we discussed earlier. What would be the halacha if somebody is a shaygig? He couldn't build a sukkah before Yontif. What would Rebbe Lezer say? Why doesn't the Gemara say that according to Rebbe Lezer, if you couldn't build a sukkah before Yontif, you should be allowed to build it during Yontif? Because it's very different. The person before Yontif, who was an Oynis, was a Shagig, he had a 7-day Yontif. So he has an obligation to build a 7-day Sukkah. And anything that's not a 7-day Sukkah is not acceptable according to Belezer. But a Katan only has a 4-day Sukkah. A Ger, in the middle of Yontif, only has a 4-day Yontif of Sukkah. So the Paiskim tried to extrapolate from this Gemara a very famous Shaila. A lot of a mitzvah, Divrei Torah written about this. What happens if somebody becomes bar mitzvah in middle of the Sfira? So what does the child do with a bracha? Because the halacha is you only make a bracha every night if you don't miss a night. But this child became a mitzvah on the 10th day of the Sfira. So the first 10 brachas he made weren't real brachas. He was still a katan. So perhaps we could prove that he, from our Gemara, he should start making bracha. He could still continue making a bracha. So the Paiskim say it's not a comparison. Sfira is 49 days. Anything less than 49 days is not Sfira. Sukkot, again, with Rabbi Chanan's explanation, it's beautiful. For a cotton, Sukkot is only 4 days. So therefore we can't prove from Sukkot, from the din of Sukkot to the din of Sfira. Well, we learned, well, that's a different shayla. Could somebody who's not mechuyev in a sukkah build a sukkah? So we discussed that shayla earlier. The Gemara says sukkah goy is kosher. Sukkah noshim is kosher. But the chiddush is that they can build even during Chol Hamoed, even though Rabbi Elazar normally holds you can't. Rabbanan. According to Rabbanan, how would we know that they could build a sukkah during Yontif? So they said, according to Rabbanan, we don't need a limud. Kimish from Ritzint Rabbanan hold, oisin sukkah b'chol shemayid, that everybody could build a sukkah Chol Hamoed. So we don't need a pasuk for the cotton of the ger. They're no worse than anyone else. Tanabon. Master Beloy, Shaholach Lahagbul, Pnei Rebelezer, Rabbi Belud, Beregel. He went to greet his Rebbe in Lud on Yontif. Amlai Eloy, Ein Chamishai Sve Haregel. You're not from the people that are being Shaymer Yontif, that are observing Yontif properly. Shay Rebelezer Oimer, Meshabech Anias Atzlonim. I praise the lazy people, shen yotzin mirvateim beregel, that they never leave their homes in Yontif. The ksiv, the pasuk says, v'samachta atro beisecha, it's a pasuk by Maase Sheni, but the pasuk is teaching us that this, the way to be mekayim simcha is with your family. So by going away from your family, you don't have simchas Yontif. And I saw the Mefarshim explain, there's a tremendous lesson in this Gemara. Normally, we look at certain characteristics as negative characteristics. We look at laziness as a negative behavior. Sometimes even something that's negative is positive. Being lazy sometimes is good. Staying at home on Yontif is appropriate. Ask the Gemara, Eini, is that true? From Rabbi Yitzchak, Menayin Shechayev Odom L'Hagbal Pnei Rabbi Beregel. How do we know that somebody has to go greet his Rebbe on Yontif? Shnema Ma Dua Ato Hilechas Elov Hayoyim. Why are you going today? Like Chodesh for Like Shabbos. By the story of the Shunamis, when her child died, and she went to the Navi to see what he could do for her. So her husband, who wasn't aware that the child had died, said, "Why are you going? It's not Chodesh for Shabbos. Mechlal de Bechodesh for Shabbos, Mechayiv Inish Lepule Api Rebbe. On Shantif and on Shabbos, a person has to go greet his Rebbe. So we see that you are allowed to go away. Says the Gemara, loy kasha. Ha da ozav os b'yoyma, ha da ozav loy os b'yoyma. It makes a difference if you can get back home on the same day. If you can get back home on the same day, then you should go. If not, not. So the Tori Evan asks, the Gemara is saying that you have to go greet your Rebbe on Yontif. And the Gemara talks about Shabbos and Chodesh. Where do we learn Yontif? So the Tori Evan answers, Shabbos here means Yontif. What's the proof? He says, if Shabbos meant Shabbos, why does it say Chodesh before Shabbos? There are more Shabbosim than Rosh Chodeshim. So it must be that Shabbos doesn't mean Shabbos. Shabbos means Chodesh. But ask the Pnei Yeshua. Shabbos means Yontif. Ask the Pnei Yeshua. The husband of the Shunamis was asking her, why are you going to the Navi? It's not Shabbos or Yontif. And you don't go only on Shabbos or Yontif to him. But it's a mitzvah seishas magrama. So even if we're obligated to go, she's not obligated. It's mitzvah seishes man grama. So the Pnei Yeshua answers that, and it's based on a Magen Avraham, really one should greet his Rebbe every day. That's proper kavod. Just it's difficult to do. So since it's obligated every day, it's not a mitzvah seishes man grama. And he brings a raya. He says, Chaydish. What does Chaydish mean? We said Chaydish means Rosh Chaydish. Rosh Chaydish, says the Pnei Yeshua, only is a yontif for women. The meaning is that women don't work in Rosh Chaydish, but men do. So it's obviously, women should go Rosh Chaydish, not men. So it's obvious that the pasuk is relevant even for women, and maybe even more for women than for men, because women have the ability to go Rosh Chaydish, because they don't work, and men don't. The Yaros Devash says that when one goes to meet his Rebbe, there's a dual purpose. There's a bracha when one sees a Talmud Chacham, and the bracha when one is seen by a Talmud Chacham. Explains the Yaros Devash, and that's why somebody should go. So every day of the year there's no time, we're busy. But Shabbos, or Rosh Chodesh, or Yontif, whatever Pshat in the Pasuk is, one should go. As we quoted in the previous Shir Noi de Behuda, points out that this Gemara is not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch LaHalacha. Why not? Why is there no din of Chayiv Adam L'Hagbo Pnei Rabbi B'Regel? So Noi de Behuda explains that since now there is no Aliyah L'Regel, we don't want to treat our Rebbe better than we treat the Beis HaMikdash. If we would say that you have to go greet your Rebbe, that means the Beis HaMikdash we don't go to anymore. And our Rebbe we do, so that's why it's not quoted in Halacha. But as we also said, there's certainly one is Mekayim a mitzvah when he greets his Rebbe on Yontif. Tanur Rabbanan. Ma'aseh Rebbe Elazar, Sheshavas Begola Ha'Elyon, B'Shil Kosso Shal Yochayim Ber Beloyi, B'Kesri. He was staying in that Sukkah in Kisri, V'Amalai B'Kisrin. B'Giyah Chama, L'Sukkah. The sun started shining on the Sukkah. Amalai Ma'ash Efesh Al-Asadin. Can we put out an awning because the sun bothers us? Amalai, so responded to him, Ein Lecha Kol Shevet V'Yisrael. There was no Shevet in Klai Yisrael. Shaloi Hevet V'Menei Shevet. Every Shevet had in the history of Klai Yisrael a Shevet. And Rashi goes through the history. Higiyah Chama L'Chatzi Sukkah. So the Chama reached, ready, it was more, he in the middle of the Sukkah, so it was even hotter. Amalai Ma'ash Efer Shal Asadin. Can I put out an awning? Amalai Ein Lecha Shevet V'Yisrael Shaloi Yotzi V'Menei Neviim. Every Shevet had Neviim. Shevet Yehuda V'Nyamin, Himidu Malachim Api Neviim. The Malachim that were from those Shvatim were appointed by Neviim. Now it's already hitting his body, his feet. It's very uncomfortable. So he put out the awning. Rabbi Elazar leaves the Sukkah, because he says it's disqualified. It has an awning. Not a question is, why doesn't he just answer? If he feels that you're not allowed to open the awning, so just answer the question. Says the Gemara, not that he wanted to change the subject by telling him about Shaifdim and Neviim. Rabbi Elazar never said anything that he didn't hear from his Rebbe. And since he didn't hear his Rebbe paskin this Shaila, he didn't want to say it, even though he had an opinion. And the Aruch Haner explains, what he was saying like this, what was he trying to tell him? He said, I'm not going to paskin this Shaila. Why? Because I didn't hear about it from my Rebbe. What I didn't hear from my Rebbe, I don't say. However, you should ask their other Shoftim in Klal Yisrael, their other Rabbonim. Every Shevet had its Rabbonim. And if you can't find the Rav, then let's look at a Navi. A Navi is a Messiah. Let's look how Klal Yisrael acts, and you act the same way. Says the Gemara, Hechi Avad Hachi, how could this ever happen? V'am Rebbe Elazar, Ein Yoytz Mesukka, Regal, you're not allowed to leave the sukkah. So how could he have gone to another sukkah on Yontif? He says you have to stay in one sukkah on Yontif. Says the Gemara regal acha havoi. It wasn't sukkahs. Ask the Gemara Rebbe Elazar mishabechni satzlanim. You're not supposed to leave home. Rebbe Elazar lived in Lud, so how could he leave his home? Mishabechni satzlanim shen yotzim metayim beregel. Says the Gemara Shabbos havoi. I saw an interesting word from Dimri Emes. We know we say in the Agada, Master Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Yeshua, Shayim Sumim B'Bnei Barak. Rebbe Elazar teaches us that you're not allowed to leave your home for Yontif. So how could he have been in B'Nei Barak on Pesach if he lived in Lud, and he says you're not allowed to leave your home in Yontif. So they say that the story that happened did not happen on Pesach. So Rabbi Elazar didn't want to answer if you're allowed to put out the awning. Says the Gemara, why don't we bring a proof from a Gemara at the end of Masechet Shabbos? Because the end of Masechet Shabbos says, Pakak Chaloyim. Pakak Chaloyim is a window shutter. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Bezman Shekoshev Atoli. If the window shutter is tied to the window and it's also suspended from the ground, Poikin Kimba. Then you could put it into the window. Bimlav, but missing these two requirements, ain't Poikin Kimba. You can't put it into the window. You may put it into the window. So you see that Rabbi Elazar is very makbid, that you can't put something on top of an awning, it's considered binyan oil. So the Gemara, it's not a comparison. When somebody puts the window shutter into the opening, he intends to remain; it should remain there. So that's why Rabbi Elazar holds it's considered binyan, and it's asur on Shabbos. When somebody puts out the awning on the sukkah, to lay mevatel, he doesn't intend to leave it there for the whole sukkah, so it's not called binyan, and perhaps Rabbi Elazar would say it's mutter, and we don't know what Rabbi Elazar said because he refused to say explicitly. We only see that he left the sukkah when this was done.
A seminary teacher.
Huh.